Hello and welcome to the iFanboy.com 2005 year-end roundup, which is a very cowboyish term for three people who are no way cowboyish.
Hey now.
We talk about comics on the website. You know that. If you're listening to it, that's why you're here. But we also watch a lot of TV. We watch far too much TV, actually. Collectively, it's probably ridiculous. We watch movies, we read comics, we play video games, we do all that stuff. And we thought as a special thing this year we would discuss what was the best stuff that we read, watched, had fun with, whatever, this year. So we're going to talk about some movies and TV shows and comic books and other stuff that we liked this year. With me, as always, are the two other iFanboy compatriots, Ron Richards.
Hello.
And Connor Kilpatrick.
Howdy.
And myself, Josh Flanagan. We all watch a lot of stuff and read a lot of stuff and take it all in. And pretty much we've devoted our lives to chatting about it. Which is...
Because there's really nothing better to do.
No. You could argue the merits of that in a larger metaphysical sense, but it's
fun. What are we going to talk about? The weather?
Come on.
What other purpose does email and IM have? If it weren't for that, what would you do? Anyways, we'll start off with the big guys. I think 2005 for movies was a pretty good year. I remember that 2004 blew monkey ass, to put it lightly. Oh, 2004 was awful. God, it was awful. It was just weeks and weeks and weeks where there was nothing to go see. And
well, that's generally movies. I mean, yeah.
Although this year was a horrible movie year for revenue, but I think the movies weren't as bad. The big movies were terrible, but
well, I think the whole revenue versus quality discussion is not
that's all,
for us
that's
to
all
discuss because I think I think a lot of it's bullshit. I think a lot of it, I mean, is a separate kind of topic.
Sure.
So yeah, but you're right. I mean, like in preparing for this, I was surprised that, you know, the increase in number of movies I actually saw this year as opposed to last year. Mm-hmm. And the number, I mean, like, we were at the movies a lot this year.
I'm the opposite of the two of you. I hardly go. You guys go a lot.
Right.
I barely go. That's something that's been a trend since the late 90s. There was one summer where I literally went every Friday to the movies when I was working. My friend and I would go after work every Friday to see something, and that was the last time I really went a lot.
But did you feel like this year there was a lot of stuff that you...
You saw a lot, though.
I saw... Yeah. Not really. I tend to see more stuff on DVD. I'm one of those people that's in the magazine articles about the movie industry taking a downturn that waits for the DVD. Just simply because you know, there's only so many movies you can justify going to see, pay the price, deal with all the obnoxious people. I basically, at this point, I'm down.
They've lost him. Ron, they've lost him.
I can count five movies.
Right. Well,
I know
if
you
hadn't cut me off just there, I would have said I'm basically down to the event movies.
Okay.
The big event movies. Basically.
Well, yeah, and it's also kind of funny that you say that because, like, in part of this and part of our, you know, like, you know, year wrap up, one of the things I'm always interested in is both the best and the worst, and it was tough for me to even think about worse of 2005 because I don't take risks when I go to the movies anymore. Like, and that one, you know, some of my other friends,
you both
not
went
you guys.
To see Fantastic Four.
No, I didn't. I saw it on DVD.
Oh, he did.
Just like I
right.
said.
And I just got it on DVD today, actually, and I still like it.
Oh my God! I thought you were going to get the day after Christmas. What happened?
I ordered it the day after Christmas from Amazon.
That's not the same.
But anyway, but the thing is that, like, I, you know, like a couple of my other friends, aside from you guys, actually are at the point now where they don't trust my movie recommendations because they say I never have told them about a bad movie that I saw. But I don't want to A, waste the money, or B, waste the time on a movie that might be bad or might be good. You know, like, I want to go to see something that I know is going to be good.
Okay, so Ron.
A lot this year that was good.
What was good?
I would say Sin City was a huge, you know, good movie in my eyes.
You went to see that, Connor?
Yeah, we saw it together, Ron and I.
See, I really liked it. I thought it was long, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I don't find myself wanting to see it again.
Well, that you could take that sentence and insert King Kong, and that'd be my reaction.
Yeah,
I would disagree.
Agreed, Connor.
I actually just bought Sin City. I didn't buy it. I just rented it again to watch it again.
Mm-hmm. I got Sin City for Christmas. I'm very excited.
The new one?
It's all the extras and everything.
Even longer.
They have it's edited into the single stories themselves, the theatrical version with more footage, and there's a version that has none of the green screen turned on. So there's no digital effects. It's just all, you know, so you can see how much was digital. So, which I thought was interesting. So I'm very excited about that. That should tie up my month of January.
So what else besides Sin City did you think was good in the theater?
The one that probably had me, you know, comedy wise, there were two huge comedy ones this summer that I thought, you know, kind of stood out as the Wedding Crashers and 40-Year-Old Virgin. And I got to give a slight edge to the 40-Year-Old Virgin, mainly for the last 5 minutes of that movie, which I'm still.
I agree with
at
you this. Up until the end. I don't care so much about that.
The end was hysterical.
I'm not into a lavish musical. Not a big deal. Either way. Yeah. I agree, though. It was a funny movie, and it wasn't. I didn't hear people talking about it very much. It did pretty well. Really well for that kind of movie. But I didn't get
it
the
made
sense
a,
that
it made a,
loved
it made 110 million.
That's
good.
That doesn't mean much these days. Yeah.
But I didn't get this. It is for a comedy, though.
For a comedy, yeah.
I didn't feel that people were really talking about it like they loved it a lot. I talked to people who were kind of like so-so. I just watched it again two nights ago. It's real funny. But I also just watched it after having watched all of Freaks and Geeks and all of Undeclared.
Well, yeah,
so I was. It certainly will, where you suddenly like things a lot more now that you've seen it, and you want to hang out with Seth Rogen.
Right, and I had previously watched all Freaks and Geeks and all of Undeclared, I was in that place already.
And really, Paul Rudd, who's completely reinvented himself, I think. He went from, like, he was like a neophyte, he was going to be like a heartthrobby kind of guy.
Right.
He's the male lead, and he couldn't quite hack it because he's short and has a big head. And all of a sudden, he goes and he does these improv comedies where he's incredibly funny.
Oh yeah, I mean I think it's been an evolution over the past couple of years. I mean, like Wet Hot American Summer, and
exactly.
even his role on Friends was kind of in that same kind of sarcastic kind of, you know, like he's Paul Rudd is really good. Like to the point now where when he's in something, I look, you know, like I'll make a point to check it out to see if it's any good. So,
all right, Connor, you're up. What kind of movie?
Well, I mean, obviously the big one this year was Batman Begins.
I almost forgot about it because that's how long
ago
it seemed like.
That one takes the cake for 2005 for me.
That your total top movie?
Yeah. I think I would say for me the top comedy was Wedding Crashers. It's rare I go see a movie. It's rare I go see a movie twice, but I saw Wedding Crashers
really?
Twice. Yeah.
Wow, I'm impressed. Were you completely satisfied with Batman?
Yes.
Even though Ron
can attest to the post. Batman.
Yeah.
Glow.
Oh, yeah. No, he was gleeful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I saw Gary Oldman the other day on the street. And I was like, Gordon. Anyway,
Ron and I just watched it a couple weeks ago. Again, I hadn't seen it since the theaters, and I think I saw it all told four or five times.
And then did you buy it when it came out?
Oh yes, I have it.
Okay, good.
And the thing about it is that it was probably the Batman Begins accomplished a feat which I don't think has happened in years, in that there was actually a twist that caught us completely by surprise. Completely by surprise.
Spoiler alert.
That's hard to do in this day and age.
Yeah, no, and we're not going to say what it is, but I'm sure everyone's seen the movie, and if you've seen it, you know what we're talking about.
That's
but
true.
It's like, just completely did not see it coming
how
at all.
Did,
like,
how to, did that to, not happen?
I have no idea because it was staring us right in the face.
And the amazing thing is, after it does happen, you like slap yourself on the forehead and go, "Oh my god, it was so obvious the whole time."
Well, yep. What I think is so funny is that we're in the theater the night it opened, and when it happened, Connor and I both turned to each other and we're like with looks of disbelief, and we're just like, "Did that just happen?" we're just like completely, you know, yeah. It was.
And then you felt dumb.
Have you watched the original Batman since this? The 89.
I just got the re-release of it. I haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it yet either. I haven't got the disc too.
Yeah. I'm a little.
I got the 4 set anthology DVD.
You did?
Oh god.
You know why?
Because I really want to.
No, I really want to know what Joel Schumacher is going to say on those commentaries.
I've heard those are good commentaries. Yeah.
That's what Christmas is for. This is what Christmas is for. So.
But I would say
the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yes, and buying lots of crap.
And presents.
But Batman Begins, I think, was the movie that defined for me 2005. Wedding Crashers was the comedy. And another movie from 2005 which really hit my list of top movies is Good Night and Good Luck, which I really loved a lot and stuck with me for days afterwards.
Second.
I mean,
that was definitely on my list.
I mean, I'm a big Clooney fan for a number of reasons. I think he's unusual in the modern day age that he takes a lot of chances with his stardom. he could so easily just go the easy movie star route, and he puts a lot of effort and money of his own money into making unusual projects. And I was really impressed with the film from a content standpoint, from a Clooney's direct directing standpoint, from an acting standpoint, I thought it was really great all around.
I heard that actually him and Soderbergh will lose money on most of the projects they do.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, well, yeah, and then they do Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11 financed them for years.
Well, didn't Clooney put up his house as collateral for either Good Night, Good Luck or Syriana? One of those two.
I believe so.
Yeah, he put up his house as collateral, which is, you know, shows, you know, commitment to the project, but also, you know, that it's a passion. So it's cool. I mean, and it was Good Night, Good Luck, you're right, really had you left you thinking for a good couple of days or weeks after seeing it.
It also made you sad, the state of journalism now versus the state of journalism then.
Yeah. But it was so simple at the same time as it was so poignant, and it was just absolutely
incredible
beautiful
piece of filmmaking.
Movie.
Well done.
It really was. I think Strathairn's going to be up for an Oscar. I hope.
There was a string right around when Good Night, Good Luck came out. There was a string where we went to the movies pretty much every weekend, and it was all independent stuff. I mean, we saw that. We saw Thumbsucker, Squid and the Whale, Capote, and Good Night and Good Luck. And like for that month, it was hard pressed because each movie was better than the next.
Mm.
You know, and they're all very different movies. I mean, Thumbsucker and Squid and the Whale are kind of you know independent talky kind of relationship drama-y kind of movies. And then Good Night and Good Luck is somewhat political and, you know, black and white. And then Capote, the biopic, and Philip Seymour Hoffman definitely should get nominated for Capote. He was just amazing.
I really wanted to see that, but I never got it.
Yeah, it was really. If you can get a screener of that, it's worth scamming to get that because that movie was great. It was definitely up there with one of the best.
You know what's one that I keep seeing on people's best lists, but no one talks about it, and I don't think either of you guys saw it. Was History of Violence?
No, I didn't see it. I wanted
to see
that
so badly. That's a comic.
Oh,
movie.
Yeah, that was another one that was. Yep. It is, and it's literally, it's incredible in its simplicity.
Yeah.
Like, it's very simple, it's very straightforward, but it is such an excellent movie that every frame and thing that you're watching it seems thought out. Everything is deliberate, and it is so well done. And, you know, Viggo Mortensen is a strange guy,
yes.
And he fit into it really well. There's some things, you know, you can watch him, and he fit perfectly well into Lord of the Rings, obviously. And I'm almost not used to seeing him in anything else, but he inhabited that role, and it's a fantastic movie, and it's probably not out anymore. But the second that you can get the DVD, that's my sleeper of the year that I don't think most people saw, and you know, it just very, very good.
I had every intention of seeing it. It's just sort of like, you know, one of those things that keeps slipping away, and then it's gone.
Yeah,
and I blew it.
Okay, I think that I'd be remiss to not bring up Kong.
Do we have the time to debate this? Because.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what I thought, and not, there was an incident. I did not get to see the end of the movie.
He missed the last part, which I thought was the best.
There was an incident? What happened?
There was an allergic reaction to something, and we had to leave. Right about the time when he breaks out into Times Square.
Oh, you missed that's like the best part.
I know. However, that being said, I still rate this extremely, extremely high, and I didn't agree with most of the other reports I'd heard from people that the middle and everything was too long and uninteresting.
Oh, there was kinds of things you could have cut out of that movie.
Right. Well, the thing is, I think that I mean, I know how Connor, because me, Connor and I saw it together, and I know that we both. I liked it. I thought it was really good. I thought it was very high quality, but it was lacking. I had problems with it that were different than Connor's problems. My main problem was with the story. That for a 3-hour movie, I felt the story was extremely thin. And not in that, you know, yes, it's based on a 30s movie, and okay, you know, they go to the island, they find the monkey and the girl, but it lacked a depth in the character development, and I guess my expectations were so high because of the writing for The Lord of the Rings, like how they were able to condense those books down and actually still communicate the depth and the characters and the interactions. And this movie was just like, you know, the guy with the big nose and the girl meet, and then they're in love, and then she's in love with the monkey, and then it just was rolling on with this momentum that I really didn't feel was satisfying.
Connor,
so.
I thought a lot of it was extraneous and could have been cut. I thought whereas Lord of the Rings was long but didn't feel long, King Kong was long but felt really long.
See, and this is where I disagree with both of those. And that when I was watching it, I noticed something, that what this movie is probably different than what we're used to, and it sort of flies in the face of the 2-hour movie. Like, what rule is it that says a movie has to be 2 hours?
Oh, there's no rule.
Well, I don't care about that.
No, no.
Which
is
fine. But here, I really like long epic.
Yeah,
long
no,
movies.
I don't mind a long.
That's
movie.
True. But what it's I felt like it was doing was, I think it was.
There's one exception to that, though, The English Patient. But anyway, okay.
It was
on.
Languishing in its quality, I think. And like,
I think the whole subplot with the first mate and that stowaway kid was
yes.
completely useless and meaningless to the story.
And it was cut out. The entire bug scene that was cut out of the original 30s movie that he put back in probably should have stayed cut out.
That was one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in my life, though.
My problem with that is that this little stowaway first mate kid is now holding a machine gun and shooting at 4 feet distance from the guy with the big nose and never clips him once.
But think about this, okay?
No, there's no way you're going to justify that one.
I am.
You cannot.
Exactly. What this is, more than anything, I think, is it's a movie. And in that,
right,
everything that you're looking at is supposed to have, and I think that this movie more than others is more about visceral than literal meaning. And I think that one of the things is when you watch that scene, that is singularly one of the creepiest things I've ever watched in my life.
I wasn't creeped out at all by that.
I have a real big bug problem.
Well, that could be it.
And when I literally was having a hard time looking at the screen. And I know that Peter Jackson also has like a bug thing. He doesn't like them. And I think that that's why that spoke to me a little more. But I think that what I think the overall frame of, there's two things I think about the movie. One is the overall frame of the movie, and I've heard this debated, like some people thought the movie was racist and that Kong represented black people and the natives did too and it were against the white people. But it wasn't. I think it was about man versus nature.
And I've only heard that debated about the original, not the new one.
It's the same sort of story. Either way, though, I think the overall thing is the wild, untamable sort of push of nature. And when what happens to us when we try to use it, and which I actually think
is similar to
Lord of the Rings. And I think that one of the things is like nature exists in all sorts of ways. It's this huge beast animal thing, and it's also these creepy crawly things that get all over you and everything. And I think one of the things about this movie was that it had to be big in all of these different ways, and even in one of the ways was it like it shows you all of these things that make you feel a certain way on the island. Now, if that doesn't affect you, it doesn't affect you. I can't do anything about
it. One of the things that made me feel was bored.
Well, I didn't feel that at all. And one of the other things that I noticed that made that okay, and this is my second point about the movie, is that there's something Peter Jackson does that nobody else does, and is that every inch of that screen is being used and it's doing something.
Yeah,
so deliciously tactile. I mean, like, the surfaces of the walls are a certain way, and the trees are a certain way, and the bug's shell is a certain way. And even down to the actors that he casts, the faces that he chooses, are incredibly interesting to look at.
Well, let's not give Peter Jackson all the credit for that. You're forgetting one Richard Taylor.
Oh, I am forgetting Richard Taylor.
Well,
I think that it can be said very well that Peter Jackson is the driving force behind that.
Yeah, no, agreed. And I think that's one of the strong points of the movie and why I consider it a very good movie, but I think that they under-delivered in terms of the story.
I also think King Kong, the character aside, the special effects were subpar.
I didn't find that to be the case.
Surprisingly
bad. I saw a couple of places where it looked like bad green screen, but for the most part, I didn't really let it affect me. I didn't notice it.
The thing is that a lot of the Lord of the Rings had it a couple times, and I don't know, and I've read, you know, like, you know, the entertainment magazines are saying this is setting a new standard for digital special effects and blah, 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 blah. But the thing is that every now and then I see the rubbery video game guy, and it just bothers me.
Well, the other thing to think about is, and this is perhaps, and I didn't notice that as much. And I was, like, everybody mentioned it to me, so I was sort of looking for it. But I guess I was lost enough in it that I wasn't really paying attention to that. But I know what you're talking about. But you think about the time that it takes to do a movie like this.
Right.
He must have come off Lord of the Rings running.
Well, that was the observation, Connor, that you made, right? Or was it somebody else I was talking to who thought that he rushed into this movie?
I think that's part of the general discussion, yeah.
A year, year and a half, that movie's out. I mean, that's amazing. That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it's amazing, but imagine if he had taken some time off and they took their time and they hit the upcoming summer.
Yeah.
If they'd spent a little more time on it, would it have been a little more refined? Would it have been a little, you know, like, you know, who knows?
I didn't even see the end, and I did absolutely love it.
Well, I'm coming off as hating it, which I didn't, but I thought there were some really great things about it. I thought that the King Kong V-Rex, I think they called it, fight scene was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the whole part you missed was probably the best part of the movie.
I know. I mean, I'm not incredibly looking forward to going back and seeing another 3 hours worth of it right away.
Right.
But I don't know what I'm going to do about that. But I haven't seen the end of it. But
the best,
what you should do is you should go see another movie, but get there and just pop in at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should do that. Do it junior high style.
But
yeah.
That, I thought, I mean, it was a good movie. I just didn't love it as much. And I think it had to do with a lot of the hype. The pre-movie hype really can hurt a movie.
See, I tend to agree with, I think, a lot of the critics on that kind of thing. That I loved it to death.
In fact, I read a really amusing thing in the paper today. It was one of the critics in my local paper who was one of the people hyping it up as definitely, you know, the best movie of the year, possibly the best movie of all time. It's going to break the Titanic's record.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Today he had to write an article about why he was wrong. Why it's not even going to come close to breaking the record. Why everybody is wrong for not loving the movie and seeing it, you know, again and again and again. Yeah. Backpedaling. That was funny.
I've got one more, is there any other movies we need to cover?
Well, there's one that we had that we oddly haven't talked
Revenge
about.
Of the Sith?
What is it?
Yep, Connor just said it.
Revenge of the Sith. That makes my top five for the year also.
Really? Yep.
Yeah.
We don't think we really need to talk about it that much, but just note that it was out and it rocked and all that stuff.
So anyway, my sleeper hit. It's not my sleeper, but the one I didn't expect to be any good at all, but I love. I actually saw it a second time. It Walked the Line.
See, I tried to see the movie three times, and all three times it was sold out.
Yeah, and I'm firmly against biopics now after getting burned by Beyond the Sea.
Wait a minute. What? That's your own fault for going to see Beyond the Sea.
The problem is that when you've got these musician biopics with these artists, and the thing is, like, I absolutely understand that, you know, Walk the Line is supposed to be very, very good.
Did you see Ray?
Joaquin.
No, Ray, I didn't like it.
No.
Ray was
anyway,
very good.
But I have a hard time because you have this, like, Johnny Cash, you know, is Johnny Cash and Man in Black and all this kind of stuff, and Bobby Darin to me was, you know, a huge, you know, type thing. And I got all excited for Beyond the Sea, and I missed it in the theater, and I finally got it on DVD, and the movie wasn't about Bobby Darin. It was about Kevin Spacey playing Bobby Darin.
Well, didn't you know this from reading anything at all?
I knew that.
Anything you would have read about it would have told you that. I could have told you
that. No, I did. I did. But you hope because it's one of these things where it's something that you get that you is true to your heart and you get very excited for. And I don't want to be disappointed by Walk the Line, so I'm just avoiding
it. Okay, now listen to me. I'm going to get you over this right now.
Okay.
Okay? I hate biopics. They're always terrible. There's only a few instances where they're really good, and it's usually because they go somewhere else or then they don't have to. I didn't like Ray. I didn't like Kinsey. I don't like biopics. Right. They're bad. Usually there's a good performance in them, and that's it. But it's too hard to put somebody's life into a story. And they always try to explain it in some really trite way. Well, his brother died, so that's why he did drugs, which oddly enough is the same thing in Walk the Line. But they only delve into that a couple of times. The other thing going into this is, okay, it should be known, I'm a big Johnny Cash fan. I love Johnny Cash, and
we all are, all three of us.
Yes,
yeah, I don't, yeah.
And because of that, I certainly in no way wanted to see a movie made. I mean, I just as soon as, and then I hate Joaquin Phoenix and I hate Reese Witherspoon with a passion. Then further, they're gonna be singing in the movie, I can tell you absolutely sure that you completely get over it. And until the moment at the end of the movie that they roll the credits and then they play the actual Johnny and June singing.
Yep.
All of a sudden you go, oh shit, it wasn't him. Because he does such a good job. He doesn't make you he doesn't really try to imitate Johnny Cash, I don't think. But he takes you to the place where he has to be, and what happens is in the beginning he's not very good. And as he goes on, at one point in sort of the middle of the movie he comes out and he says, hello, I'm Johnny Cash. And I literally get shivers both times I saw it because he did it so well, because he captured that essence of it.
I remember seeing that in the trailer and thinking, wow, this could be good, but then I just
I swear to God, go see it. It's excellent.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well,
and they shoot it in such a way, there's a lot of close-ups on faces. It's not shot in a wide format. Like there's not a lot of wide shots. There's all sorts of focus on face, and it makes it very personal. It's very good. There's a really excellent performance by some of the side people. The guy who plays Elvis, I think will remind you very much of a friend of yours. The guy who plays Jerry Lee Lewis is also excellent.
I love Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh,
that's a biopic. That's great. That's
okay,
a great biopic. Great Balls of Fire.
Great movie. Go see it.
I just, as you were talking about this, I was just reminded of another movie that I know Connor didn't like, but I really enjoyed, which was Shop Girl.
Oh, I didn't say it was bad. I said it was really weird.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was weird, but I mean, but I read the book, and it was one of those things where, you know, I was you know, hesitant to go to the movie because I didn't want to ruin the you know, what I thought from the book. But that actually, despite not delivering in one specific area that I was expecting, it was good. It was very good. So
that was weird. Let's move on.
Okay, so let's talk about TV. And that's all for part one. Tune in soon for part two of the Pick of the Year Roundup. I don't feel
any different. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on over and over in your mind about it. And like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it. Work your way through it. Figure out coping skills, how to get around it. You know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.